The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the passage. You know, it's that great hymn of Mary's, the Magnificat, right? My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. I mean, it gives us, you know, in itself, just taking the first line of that great hymn, you know, we have more than enough to meditate on, right? Because it's not simply, okay, Mary stands apart as the one whose soul magnifies the Lord or proclaims the greatness of the Lord. This is our role also. And, you know, we can do that in a very, we can make those connections a very direct way, but we can also, if we want, use the feasts that have, that surround this one in order to say the same thing, right? Mary, mother of the church, Mary, the mother of the blessed, the beloved disciple, and how we are to find ourselves in that situation as well. Mary, our mother, Mary bringing forth the life of Christ in us, and Mary, of course, the one in whom the life of Christ is brought forth and born into the world. It's ours to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. It's ours to, and really, yeah, the Latin is pretty good on the point, right? Magnificat. It's my soul magnifies the Lord. Yeah, and in this sense, it's not ours to produce, say, the works of the Lord on our own steam or by our own strength. It's the light of God, say, being reflected or perhaps refracted in us, right? It's the sense that God himself is doing the work. My soul is the recipient of that work, and in my inmost depths and then out into my flesh and into the world, the works of God come forth. We see this, of course, the passage follows on from the Annunciation in the Gospel of Luke, the end of the first chapter, the Gospel of Luke here, and it's something to I think reflect on for us, is that, you know, we don't receive the grace of God as, say, as a personal spiritual experience. Do you know? And I don't know if you, I don't know if you have this experience or if you've had this experience yet. But every time I think in my life, every time I think, wow, do you know, this is really excessive, God. You know, like the way that you treat me with such kindness. He treats me with tremendous kindness, yeah. But I say, this is really excessive. Like I feel myself so emboldened by your grace and so, right. And then, you know, it's very soon thereafter, I realize why I need that strength. You know, something's coming around the corner there. He knows it, and he knows that he wants to give me a quick reminder of his goodness before I'm going to question every, you know, I'm going to say, where are you here? No, I remember, Lord, I remember that you have given me that outpouring. So, but this is the sense that God is inflaming our hearts. He's pouring his life into us. Again, not so that we can kind of hang around feeling good about ourselves. Okay, like, yeah, I mean, we can feel good about ourselves. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong here with feeling good about ourselves. But God is equipping us for something greater, yeah? In the sense that he's equipping us for that life of great and costly love. And it was that way for Mary as well, of course. You know this, of course, you need reminding of it, but you know that Mary's life was a life of great and costly love. I mean, you know, when you think of Mary, you think, oh yeah, great love, right? But you don't necessarily think costly, because to some extent, when we recite the scriptures, when we see these things in greeting cards and things like that, we sanitize the scene, right? It's like that, you know. When she sets out in haste, travels to the hill country, this is already a very costly journey for her. You know, and that's to say nothing of the fact that with the end of Jesus' life on the cross, Mary is there as well. So I think we know that that costs something. And it just keeps going for her, right? So we can focus on the great love if we want, but we have to see that great and costly is just the way it's going to be here and now. It's great because she's encountering the life of God here and now. She's bringing forth Jesus for the world. And this is fantastic. What better is there to be about than that, right? So the great love, the full, say, animation of her spirit, right? Her realizing, or God realizing in her full human capacity to bring forth God and to be part of his, you know, if you read this hymn, it's fantastic, right? As you know, to be the world changer that she is meant to be, right? This poor peasant young teenager is going to change the world. Yeah. So this is it. Like she, you know, she's getting revved up on the task, and God has made his preparations, and here it comes, right? The rest. But she's doing it. She's doing it, and she's doing it in that, again, by love. By love alone. This is the reality for us, yeah? Because, of course, and I have to stress that, love alone, because we celebrate the visitation. We're celebrating her going out. And we recognize that we ourselves are called to go out. We ourselves are called to bring forth Jesus in the world. In fact, to be Jesus, to be about the things of God. We are called to change the world. Right, to set it right side up. This is what's happening here. Right? He's scattered the proud in their conceit. He's cast down the mighty from their thrones. Okay, yeah, more? Yeah, more. He filled the hungry with good things. The rich he sent away empty. Yet the well-fed he sent away empty. It's significant for us because we have to also set our sights on the right things. Do you know? And for us, it's like, okay, he scattered the proud in their conceit, right? In the sense that he's scattering the mighty, right? He's bringing down, as we say, cast down the mighty from their thrones. But we see the mighty and we want their power. Right? This is not God's purpose in the world. Yeah, God wants the renewal of all things, but that starts with our hearts. And what we ourselves are going to pursue, what we're going to be about, and we seeing Mary, this again, this poor humble child, turning the world upside down, right? This is our leader in the fight. Yeah, it's not to take the world on with the tools of the world, or the devil, or the like. It's ours to take on the world in the power of self-giving love. And we see it at work in Mary here in her visitation of Elizabeth. So this is it for us today. Certainly, as we draw close to God here, we have to see that this is the pattern of our lives, that God is animating or reanimating, right, revivifying, right, bringing new life to us precisely in this pattern that we see established in the Blessed Virgin Mary, that he is visiting us, right? Here we're coming to offer this sacrifice of praise. We're coming to exercise our common priesthood. We're turning our hearts and our lives over to him. And when we do so, we find for ourselves the freedom that we need to be about the works of God. And and more than that, yeah, he is the one who's taking the initiative. And so God has actually called us to himself. Jesus has summoned us to himself to offer this sacrifice that he makes and he catches us up in. And then he's feeding us with the fruit of this sacrifice so that we, like Mary, can set off in haste to enact the works of charity today that we've been called to.